Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
All right, it's time for Film Study with Ken McCusick of FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, first off, how are you, man?
Life's good, Jeremy. How about you?
Good. So we were talking about a couple of different things. Let's start with the playoffs. Something you just said as we were coming back from the commercial break to us about the different ways the Ravens have to get in. It still looks favorable.
Yeah, absolutely. All is not lost. Let's put it that way. They will hold their destiny in their own hands regardless of the outcome against the Steelers. So even if they lose the game, they still, if they win their last four, they're in for sure. They win the AFC North. They can get there probably most likely at 9-8 is the most likely way they get there. 10-7 will certainly do it, and they even have ways to get in at 8-9 that are not outlandish.
Do we have to talk about this game? I guess.
That'd be a tough one to rewatch for you.
You know, it's kind of cathartic going through the film multiple times. Actually, good game by the offensive line, so not too tough to score from that perspective, but yeah.
It's like we don't want to win and you can't make us. I don't quite understand how the Bengals had the ball for 39 minutes. 38 and almost 39 minutes. How the hell does that happen?
Well, 80-57 was the snap count. Yeah. And the Ravens in 12 ball games now have only had 60 snaps three times. I can't even tell you how ridiculous that is. It's just 60... You know, 70 or 68 snaps, that's kind of the Ravens' norm in the Jackson era. They will always have one snap count, and this year is just this wild anomaly where they can't, you know, stay on the field or convert third downs at a reasonable rate.
So, Ken, we were talking as well about, the running back carries and how things have gone on. One of the things you pointed out to me is Rasheen Ali is a blocker, but your thoughts on that game specifically about how everything gets divvied out and what you've seen from Rasheen Ali.
Yeah, so let's start with Ali because he had a very big game this week and a big game for the rest of his career in Baltimore. So you started this. I've had Ali cut about four different times this year, when they've been short a roster spot. That's not the problem right now with this team. But Hill is out and Ali is completely filling his role as the third down or obvious, let's put not third down back, obvious passing situation blocking back. And he had three sets and eight chips on plays that ended up being a pass or a sack in this game. Made them all. Looked outstanding on those plays, by the way. He stood up Miles Murphy once. He knocked Geno Stone right down on the ground. He blocked two defensive backs on another play as a pass blocker. Had a really great game. His chip blocks, he goes right to the ribs. I mean, it's a forceful pounding hit he puts as opposed to a performative thing sometimes you get from other running backs. He just did a great job. He's in the last couple of weeks here, he's completely turned me around on where he is. And I think honestly, they save $4 million by cutting Hill next year. I think the likelihood is they'll keep Ali. So good move for the Ravens in terms of keeping him so far. Ali having the most snaps of the running backs, I guess that's kind of winning snap count, this last week was really a function of game situation. They had a lot of drives at the end of the half. They had two drives at the end of the first half where they had to pass, so Ali's in for those. Ali was in at the end of the game when they're trying to get the game over with. In fact, he had the last three carries as they're running out the clock on themselves. So with down 18, they're obviously not going to catch up, and he had three of his four carries then. He was only in that I saw for one first down that was a situation you might want to have Derrick Henry in. So he's not taking snaps away from Derrick Henry is the point I was making.
Just a piggyback. So in the first half, why the, you get the carries on the first drive, you have your 30-yard touchdown, and then we don't see you again until later in that half. And he gets two more carries. And one of them happened to be when they got the stop on the 2-yard line, trying to get some of that, usually teams will run it on first down or trick you with some play action out of the end zone. Did you see anything in there why that might happen?
Why they didn't continue to try and run the ball more? Yeah. They could have run the ball more in the game. They certainly could have. If you break it down play by play, what you'll usually find is the number of additional carries that they could have had for him is three, it's four. And if you really press it, maybe you can find six plays that you could flip over. It's not a lot. It wouldn't completely have changed his number of carries.
I get it. Obviously, people focus on the turnovers, which they'll kill. You're not going to turn the ball over five times and win a game. Mm-hmm. But what I've been curious about, or confounded by, is Lamar's lack of accuracy. He's missing people by a mile. And I don't – have you seen this? Because it's like – it's not just – people keep pointing to his running. He's not running because of his injury. Whatever. He can't – he was gone from being an outstanding passer to missing people by wide margins.
Yeah, this was his worst game probably ever in terms of that. He had 10 balls, as I counted, that he either missed the target with either ample time and space or with the ball out quickly. Now, ball out quickly, you complete a very high percentage of those passes. Ample time and space, a very high percentage of those passes. So these are the plays where you should really hit plays. And we've got a detail on that on the podcast I'll point people to. Sorry for the early plug on this.
I'll plug it as much as you want.
Yeah, but it's we go through all 10. It takes us about 20 minutes to get through. But he missed three big ones that I'll get to. The two to Tez Walker that were long left. I mean, Tez Walker had a really good game. The second one in particular, he'd stacked Dax Hill, meaning he'd kind of gotten in the left lane ahead of him and made it very difficult for Hill to get positioned on to make a play on the football. And Jackson way underthrew the ball. Hill was able to get his arm into the catch point, and as he went to the ground, he pried it loose. And that was just an unbelievable shame, as it should have been a walk-in six. And he had about an 8-yard window or so to throw that ball where Walker would have run under it very easily. He threw another ball high to Walker that he rifled after Geno Stone fell down. And then the big one he missed on the left sideline to Keaton Mitchell. If you look at the All-22, it looks like it's going to be about a 30-yard play. He's got one man to beat, a linebacker, and Keaton Mitchell versus a linebacker. He's going to make him look foolish.
Yeah.
And it might have been a house call, but it probably would have been at least 30.
All right, I'm going to have to ask you the question that I don't know that you can even answer. 14 points against the worst defense I've ever seen in this league at home on a Thursday night. How does that happen? And were you kind of taken aback by that? I mean, like, if they lost the game and scored 30, I'm kind of going, okay. I mean, they put up points. The defense let them down. I've just been shocked at the way the offense has looked.
Yeah, I mean, this you're right. It's such a bad defense. Even when they were down, well down 15 in the fourth quarter, you still figured there's still a chance, given how bad this team is. It just continual shooting themselves in the foot with these missed passes and the turnovers. It was an ugly, ugly game.
Yeah, it just was.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more that we can get to in here with talking about this, and I know we want to talk about the defense, which we'll do in the next segment. Ed, you got one more for him before we step out?
No, I guess because my big frustrations are Lamar's inaccuracy. It was the worst game I've ever seen him play, and I don't understand this whole consistent abandonment of the run when things are still within reach. I don't for the life of me understand this, and I know the coaching staff's going to give us. That's what was presented. We saw. We just reacted to what's presented to us. No, no. You're the most prolific rushing attack in the league for years. Why would you abandon it when you're out? Your star Hall of Fame running back is playing well, and he has 10 carries.
You're not opposed to Lamar coming to the line of scrimmage, seeing eight in the pass box, and deciding he wants to pass, are you?
No.
Okay. So there is some of that. Mm-hmm. And when the other team crowds the line of scrimmage, they take away the misdirection value of the Ravens offense. Not that most of it is not gone already by the fact that Lamar doesn't have the mobility he normally has. Mm-hmm. So going to the mesh point isn't the same kind of fear that normally evokes.
Because he's not running.
Defenses. Yeah.
But I still think they should be trying more off tackle and stop with these A-gap runs. Because no one has even – they're getting hit before they hit the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And you can't have that. And Henry's always been better off tackle around the end because he gets 2-3 steps. And then he's unstoppable.
Yeah.
But getting that big body moving and you know right away, it's not going to happen if someone's in the backfield.
Well, you're 100% right that that's where most of his big runs came last year. And he had – you know, the 87 was off tackle and whatnot. This year, somebody asked me that question again just in the last few days. And so I looked it up. PFF has the information on all 8 gaps. And he actually is much better in the middle of the field. It's really surprising. It's shocking. But he's been terrible on the outside. He's been his best on the outside is like 4.5 yards per carry. But in between the tackles, he's, you know, 4.9, 5.5, 6.
Mm. Yeah. How many different weird ways can they lose a game? Like fumbling through the end zone. We've seen that in the playoffs in the regular season. We've seen crazy, the ball bouncing a funny way or just, you know, poor execution, all types of things. But that's from the offensive standpoint. Defensively is where we need to go, and that's where we're going to get into next. Ed, you'll start it off, but we need to talk about the defense and how they performed against Cincinnati. And does this team now have to kind of, you know, hang their hat on the defense to win some games for them? We'll talk about that next right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris, and Ken McCusick's joining us from FilmStudyBaltimore.com. We're going to talk about the defense. Ed, start it off.
Well, I'm going to start off with my favorite Raven. I had Kyle Hamilton grayed out in this terrible game.
He was okay. He wasn't the problem, if you want to call that. So, you know, they had a number of players who played well. He actually had pretty good coverage, I thought, on the 14-yard touchdown, allowed 5.0 yards per target overall, which is good. It felt like Burrow was avoiding him, so that was good. What else to say? He didn't make an impact as a pass rusher in this game.
No. Nope. Well, it was just nobody did actually.
What did you see out of the defense this week? You know, we talked about the pass rush. Were they did Joe Burrow? Was he kind of picking them apart at times, or what did you see?
So they got decent overall pressure, but it wasn't really effective. It was effective, but they didn't quite get enough of it. So Burrow's had with ample time and space was at 9.3 yards per play, which is about what I would expect. It's above average, and he's an above average quarterback. With the ball out quick, and this is where a lot of Burrow's throws end up, he's below the norm for that at 5.2 yards per play. And that's 19 of his, how many did he have in this game? 47 attempts in the game. I know he had 32 at halftime, which is like 46. One of the highest. I mean, 36 at halftime?
46 attempts.
Okay. And a sack, too.
So, one sack,
And then they got him for pressure 13 times, so 28%. That's too low. But he only got 15 net yards on those plays, so 1.2 yards per play on that. So he underperformed his opportunity set. And by the way, Lamar overperformed his, but the 5-0 in turnovers kind of makes up for about 400 yards of difference, probably. I'm kidding, you basically cannot overcome that kind of a difference.
How did they have only sack a quarterback once who had to take his shoe off when he was off the field because it was too uncomfortable. He's got this plate in the shoe, and he's coming off a foot injury. One sack. I thought they were going to come after him with everything.
Yeah, it was from that perspective, they did not do a good job. And so some of the players who had been playing well recently didn't have a great game in this one. And I think you go to Draymond, versus not having a particularly great game. Mike Green, he's twitchy and he's moving around a lot. He didn't really have a great pass rush win rate, given that it's 47 total dropbacks, not all while he was in the game, but a lot of opportunity for him.
Hey, what about, I know you brought it up earlier, we're going to talk defense, but you said the offensive line performed fairly decent. If they had a good week, we at least have to acknowledge it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. This game really was all on Lamar and two other things. So one of the turnovers was likely getting blocked right back into Lamar, ball getting tipped, interception. So I'm sure folks remember that one. And then there were four other free runners generated by scheme. So they did a good job of rushing four, because they only averaged 4.3 rushers per play. But they did a good job of rushing only four, being very conservative about it, but it being a different four, so they could bring Stone and others from the outside and still maintain an advantage. Most of this was not on the offensive line. The offensive line had a good game going across. Stanley had a B, looked pretty good. Give up 2.5 pressures and a third of a sack, but it didn't allow the quarterback to get touched really on the play. He's getting bowled into the cone, but he didn't allow the quarterback to get touched. It's been a kind of a hallmark of Stanley's career. Voorhees, I thought, had a pretty good game. He had one false start and one pressure. He only played 41 snaps because they subbed him out for Emory Jones, who we'll get to in a minute. Linderbaum and A, no negative events. Fa'alele had a good game blocking. By the way, inverted game for Fa'alele. Outstanding game in space. And he really has not had one of these in his entire career so far, but he made 3 out of 3 pulls, 5 out of 5 blocks in level 2. Very unusual, and it's usually a problem with decisiveness for Fa'alele, mm-hmm. but this was a really good game and could be a good turning point for him. Unfortunately, he also gave up some pass blocking events, which took his score down to a C-. Rosengarten, a C+, as I scored at 2.5 pressures, a third of a sack, half a false start. He faced a decent pass rusher in Miles Murphy on that edge. Emory Jones, everybody wants to hear about, was solid on his blocks, 13 of 15. Technique looks fine. I was a little surprised they started him at left guard, but they apparently probably want to see how he pulled. He pulled effectively once. Seems like he's more natural at right guard, given his size and length and whatnot, if he doesn't end up a tackle. But then he had the holding penalty, and the holding penalty really kills his grade, as I scored. It's enormously more important than other things. And other systems you'll see, other people you'll see, coaches, they'll tell you it's not as important. They're not looking at anything about win probability or expected points if they're doing
right.
That. Yeah.
What do you think about Awuzie's play in general?
Yeah, he's looked terrific.
He's looked pretty, I mean, I thought he looked really good in coverage.
You're going to need him a lot, right, with the injury to...
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, yes. But go ahead.
it's him and Humphrey now. It looks like if Wiggins is going to miss some time, Wiggins' injury is just a backbreaker for the Ravens defense. Yeah. If they lose him, they really love to have the extra depth there, the ability to put Humphrey in the slot. They've got two ways they can fix it. They can put Tampa on the outside, Humphrey moving to the slot in dime situations, which is the only time they need that extra cornerback, because otherwise it's Hamilton there. And the other possibility is they could bring Keon Martin in, who the last two games he played was just outstanding, and I think would be a good option too. So having two ways to fix a problem in the secondary in December is a pretty good place to be.
Yeah.
I know we got a little bit of time left. Give me your initial thoughts. Huge game this week, obviously. Ravens are 5.5-point favorites. We just talked about their first-round rookie will miss. He should miss this game. They said he was going to miss multiple weeks. What do you make of this matchup? I've seen the Steelers play quite a bit, and I don't know how much other people... There's something missing with them.
Okay, first-round rookie, you're talking from last year, Nate Wiggins, right?
No, I'm talking about with the Steelers.
Farmer, yes.
Yeah, okay. Farmer, sorry, yeah. My apologies.
Yes, that's obviously, that's a big deal. The Ravens are, it's a must-win game. The Steelers are reeling in a similar way to them. Mm-hmm. Patrick Queen was out of the game. I don't know what his situation is. I'm not sure. I'm not honestly sure it's that big a loss for the Steelers if he's not in, but it may be the next guy down is a lot worse. Seeing the way Rodgers is hobbling around out there and not able to put much mustard on the football with that arm of his, the left arm, in fact, I don't know. I don't know why they wouldn't play Rudolph at this point, but I still like the Ravens' chance at home against this team. And if they beat them, it'll still only be one team the whole year they beat that has a winning record. And that's that win over the Bears with Tyler Huntley.
Wow. How weird is that?
This whole season, I got to say, it just from the 10,000-foot view, this is the oddest season I've seen in a long time, mm-hmm. where I don't know who the best team in football is. Usually there's a couple of clear. The last couple of years, it's been Chiefs, Bills, Ravens in the AFC.
The problem is that there is clear picks. It's just we don't believe them.
No, I don't believe the Patriots, Bears, the Broncos, the Bears. I don't know. I guess.
Indy's not even in first place anymore. Jacksonville is.
Yeah. Jacksonville's in first. I mean, no one in the AFC North has a positive point differential. No one in the NFC South has one. It's like, I've not seen anything like that. Do you attribute this to salary cap? This, you know, parity is becoming mediocrity.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm a big fan of parity. I'm not a big fan of teams using the methods of roller coaster parity that they spend their future cap to win now. I hate that. I never want the Ravens to do it. I don't want them to trade away all the draft picks.
Rams did it.
And now the Rams did it and the Eagles did it. And that bothers the hell out of me because everyone points. It's like, look, that's all you have to do. Just be like the Eagles. Just be like the Rams. Well, no. Look at all the other teams that failed with that same strategy. The Browns. Did they go all in too?
They're the exception to the rule. And the Rams actually it paying off because there are so many teams that have done this. Like I talk about teams that rebuild in baseball. And it's like the White Sox have been rebuilding since, 2003? Like, it's just, oh, here's 5 years. Let's change it up again. Let's get rid of everybody and try to flush this out. And it's just been a gigantic turd for them.
Browns have been rebuilding since 1964.
Oh, man.
It's just their last championship.
It's unbelievable. Ken, before we let you run, tell everybody about the website where they can find you, the podcast, everything.
Sure. FilmStudyBaltimore.com is the website. I'm at FilmStudyRavens on Twitter. And I've put out some short videos recently. So if you have a question, use hashtag FilmStudyMailbag on Twitter, and I'll try and answer it potentially with a short video.
Great stuff as always, man. Look forward to talking to you next week. Hopefully it's after a Ravens win over the Steelers, but we shall see.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Airo uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.